How do you do? Have you ever felt despair, like the writer of these famous words who said, "I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." The man in this story often felt that kind of desolation while he was growing up. He found a comforter when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many people who come to Pacific Garden Mission seeking refuge have a great void in their lives. Some don't even realize their need. Some have tried to fill the emptiness with drugs and alcohol. The mission offers food, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night. Even medical and dental care in the mission clinic to resident guests, all without charge, thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts. Pastors and counselors help each guest face the spiritual vacuum in their hearts, the reason for their emptiness. They're introduced to the one who made himself of no reputation so they could have theirs restored. They learn to love him because he first loved us. And that same message goes out to the world in 14 languages through this program. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3218 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
She's gone, buddy. Your mother's gone. While you were at school, she took off and went to Chicago with her boyfriend.
Oh, I don't know how she could do that. Just leave her kids.
I come home, I find this note, and she didn't have the guts to tell me face to face. That woman, I'm going to...
Get hold of yourself, Charles.
I'm going to... I can't stand it.
Charles, stop it.
The man in our story was 10 years old when his mother deserted the family. This is the story of how her choice and his reaction nearly ruined his life. It's the true testimony of Charles Bud Oswalt, right now on Unshackled.
I was the oldest of three children, born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the midst of the Great Depression. The first 9 years of my life were uneventful. Around the corner from us was a small church, and the pastor's daughters, who were also children, came and got us for Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher's name was Leah, and she would be important in my life.
Children, how do we know that Jesus loves us? Because the Bible tells us so. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. Nobody took his life. He willingly gave it. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
When I was 10, my parents started leaving us with a babysitter while they went to taverns where Mom sang while Dad got drunk. Then they began fighting. If Dad didn't come home for supper, Mom drove us around looking for him. I had to go into one bar after another until we found him and begged him to come home. Then Mom started going out on her own. One night, as Mom got ready to leave, she and Dad had a terrible fight. Dad choked Mom and banged her head on the sink. I ran next door and yelled, "My daddy's killing my mom. Please help us." Right after that, Mom left. Dad went crazy, smashing things. Then he made a decision to put us in the children's home.
You kids all packed and ready to go?
Do we have to go?
We've been through all this. I can't take care of you kids and work too. The home isn't all that bad, so quit your crying. And see who's at that door, Bud.
Grandma!
Well, you're just in time to say goodbye, Mom. We're about ready to leave.
I can't let you do this, Charles.
I got no choice, Mom. I told you I can't take care of these kids alone.
Well, they can live with us.
You don't have room for them. With three kids and a granddaughter, your house is as full as it is.
I can't bear the thought of my grandkids living in the children's home. They're coming with me. You come too, son.
How I missed my mom. 10 of us in the house were too hard on Grandma, so Dad sent my sister to live with an aunt while we two boys lived with another aunt who was married to a drunk. He came home inebriated one night and threatened us with a knife. I was terrified. Dad took us back to Grandma's house where we lived for about a year. During that time, we didn't go to Sunday school, but Leah, the Sunday school teacher, came to us.
Mr. Oswald, my husband and I cannot have children, and we would like to be foster parents to your children.
Which ones?
All of them.
All three?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to give them up.
Oh, we needn't adopt them. We would raise them on our farm. They could be together again instead of separated as they are now. We'll provide their clothes, send them to school, and take them to church.
Well, it's an idea.
We could talk with a lawyer and have everything in writing so you'd be comfortable with the arrangement.
Why are you doing this?
Well, because I care about the children. And I know you're going through a difficult time.
Well, I don't want their mother to see them. She's back in town, but she abandoned them.
That's fine. I agree.
And I expect to see them every week.
So we kids had each other, but not our parents. We lived on a farm in Spencerville, Indiana, where I learned to work hard, getting up at dawn to do chores. I milked cows, slopped hogs, and fed chickens, all before breakfast. Then we kids walked to the end of the lane to wait for the school bus. In winter, the temperature dropped below zero. I thought my world was ending, even though our foster parents were very good to us.
More sausage?
No, thanks. I'd better get ready for school.
You cleaned up your plate really fast, Bud.
Yeah, I was hungry. Excuse me.
Don't forget, we have church this evening, and you're being baptized.
I didn't forget.
Do you have your verses memorized?
Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Good. And the other one?
John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My head knowledge of God's word and salvation hadn't made any change in my heart. I still missed my mom so much. Even though we saw Dad on Tuesdays, I couldn't make sense of my life, and it was hard to say goodbye to him. Then, when I was 14, disaster struck while we were at school. I told Dad about it later.
The tornado hit the school?
Yes. I was sitting by the windows when it got real dark outside and the windows started shaking. The teacher told us to get to the center of the room. Just then, the tornado hit and the roof started falling in on us. The wall fell down where I'd been sitting.
Good grief, what did you do?
We all screamed and started to run, but it was so dark and windy we tripped over each other and all the wreckage that was blown down.
Where was Maddie and Jerry?
In the other building, having lunch when it hit. I got outside and searched everywhere and found them under a tree hugging each other.
Oh, you were very lucky, son.
Yeah, I thought we were going to die.
Well, I've got some news for you, too. I'm seeing a woman, and I think I'm going to get married next year, so you'll have a stepmother.
I didn't want a stepmother. I wanted my mom. I hadn't seen her in 5 years when Dad remarried and moved into the projects of Fort Wayne. Although my stepmother had two daughters, we begged Dad to let us live with him, and he did. By the time he bought a two-story house in town, I was nearly 16. I didn't get along with my stepmother or her daughters, and Dad let me quit school. One day after my stepmother sent me to my room, I crawled out the window and bicycled across town to see Mom.
Buddy!
Mom!
Oh, it's so good to see you. But what are you doing here? Why aren't you in school?
Dad let me quit.
Oh, I heard he remarried.
I was afraid to come here because Dad'll be upset, but I just can't take any more of my stepmother.
Well, what does she do?
She's mean. She gives her girls meat sandwiches for lunch and makes us eat jelly sandwiches.
Did you tell your dad?
Yeah, but he takes her side.
Oh, look at you. You've grown so much.
How come you left us, Mom?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bud. I love you, and I missed you kids every day. But I couldn't take your father's drinking. He was nasty when he got drunk.
My stepmother's the nasty one. I can't take her. Can I come and live with you?
Well, I'm remarried too, son. I'll ask my husband, but I'm sure he'll agree. You'll like him.
My stepfather agreed, and Dad let my brother and sister live with Mom and my stepdad, so we kids were all together again. I liked my stepfather, who took me fishing and hunting. He also taught me to drive. But in spite of the moral training I'd had with Leah, the damage was done to my character, and I repeatedly got in trouble with the police.
What's wrong with you, Bud? You get into more mischief than any kid I know.
I'm no worse than anybody else. I just get caught.
I don't like the police coming to our house.
I don't like it either, Mom.
You heard what they said? You're 17 now. One day you'll end up in Plainfield at the reform school. Is that what you want?
No. I've heard bad things about reform school.
Then straighten up.
Will you sign for me to join the Navy?
Well, the police did suggest that, but I don't think you're mature enough.
You gotta sign for me, Mom. I don't want to go to reform school. Mom finally signed, and I was sworn into the U.S. Navy in July 1952. I went to boot camp at Great Lakes, Illinois, where I had a very hard time because I was emotionally unstable, rebellious, and didn't like to take orders. But my superiors worked with me and helped me grow into manhood. On my first liberty, I went to Milwaukee, where I drank beer for the first time. After boot camp, I was stationed at Quonset Point, Rhode Island, where I was an aircraft firefighter. One day, an airplane crashed on landing and caught fire. When we got to the plane, we could hear the pilot screaming, but we couldn't get to him because of the heat. Finally, he stopped screaming. That was my first experience with death. And I remembered the church of my youth, where I had heard about heaven and hell. I wondered where the pilot went, but I wasn't concerned about my own destiny. I should have been very concerned.
Shortly, we'll hear about Bud's destiny. We get many requests for prayer that are lifted to God's throne. We send these requests on to our prayer band. Prayers for loved ones, jobs, finances. No prayer is too small or too big. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So if you have some need for which you'd like us to pray, write and tell us. And if you feel called to be a part of this ministry, write and tell us that too. We welcome newcomers who are willing to spend time lifting up the burdens of others to the Lord. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And there is no easier way to bear someone's burden than by prayer. Let us know whether you'd like to receive petitions monthly or bimonthly. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
My second duty station was Norfolk, Virginia, where I lived like the rest of the sailors assigned to my ship. We drank and got tattoos. Hanging out in bars was boring, but there seemed to be no alternative. I wrote to my mom now and then, but I never wrote to Leah and her husband, though I thought about them a lot. I was transferred to Pascagoula, Mississippi, to a new LST, and when I didn't get leave at Christmas, I went AWOL and hitchhiked home to Indiana. 2 days before Christmas, the Navy caught up with me.
There's a police car outside. Bud, are you in trouble with the law?
I'm AWOL, Mom.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to come home for Christmas and they wouldn't give me leave.
I can't believe you did that.
They're not going to give up, so I might as well surrender. The police took me to jail where two MPs handcuffed me and took me to Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indianapolis. I spent Christmas and New Year's in an army stockade. I didn't want to live anymore because I didn't think anyone loved me. Not even God. After a general court-martial, I was fined and given 2 weeks restriction with extra duty. I was also assigned to a different ship that anchored in Turkey, where we took Marines to the beach. One of the sailors was killed in an accident, and I realized that I would die someday, some way. I wondered where I would go when I died. While I was on that ship, twin brothers came aboard for training.
Jesus spent a lot of time on ships. Did you know that, Bud? He even walked on water, demonstrating his control over the elements because he created all things. And by his power, all things are held together. The Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yes, I know all that. I went to Sunday school when I was young.
Going to Sunday school doesn't save you. Ye must be born again, Jesus said. You have to repent of your sins and ask him to save you.
I did when I was young, okay?
Just remember, someday you must give an account of your stewardship.
My stewardship?
The life, the resources God has given you to glorify him. Ask yourself, are you living for the Lord or for yourself?
I have work to do. Thankfully, they were aboard ship for only 2 weeks, and I tried to avoid them. In 1956, I re-enlisted for 6 more years and bought a brand new sports coupe. Wanting to take a long trip in my new car, I went AWOL again and drove home from Norfolk where I was stationed. Mom was very upset.
Do you have permission to be here?
Not exactly.
Give me the keys to that car.
It's mine. I bought it.
You heard me. If you don't give me the keys, I'll call the MPs.
Some mother you are. How am I supposed to get back to the base?
On a bus. I'll take you to the bus station. You can turn yourself in when you get back, and maybe they'll be lenient with you.
I faced another court-martial, a fine, and 30 days of restriction with extra duty. Then I was transferred to Dam Neck, Virginia, where I often ate at a little restaurant near the base. I was 22, and that's when I met Mary, who worked there. We became soulmates and married. I thought I had it all, a wife and a new red convertible where I listened to the latest rock and roll music. Then my world collapsed.
Why the long face, Bud?
I have new orders. I'm going to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Where Castro is?
Yes.
Can I go with you?
No, that's why I'm unhappy. I don't want to go there without you.
Oh, we'll be all right, Bud. It's not forever.
No, but it will seem like it. When I left Mary in Virginia Beach, I grieved in my heart. To make matters worse, we weren't allowed off base at Gitmo because of the communist takeover in Cuba. So there was nothing to do but go to the movies, to church, or to the club. I went where all the other guys went, to the enlisted club for beer. One Sunday night, while we were drinking on the patio, I heard singing at the chapel pavilion where a group of people were singing hymns. I eased away from the club and stood there listening. I couldn't hear the words, but I recognized the melody, and my heart ached with the memory of going to church with Leah. I decided right then to go to church the following Sunday. The morning service was not to my liking, so I went back Sunday evening. That's when I met Ray.
You're new here, aren't you, Bud?
Yeah. While I was at the club last week, I heard you guys singing, Ray.
We're glad you came. I hope you come back every week.
I haven't been to church in a long time, but there isn't much else to do on this island.
Well, the Lord had a reason for bringing you here.
And here I was blaming the Navy.
The Lord is the commander-in-chief, Bud.
Yes, you're right, Ray.
The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
That isn't talking about me.
It could be. God has a plan for every believer's life. As it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him."
Ray took me under his wing and invited me to supper one night. Afterward, we sat in the living room where he took out a big black Bible. I wondered what I had gotten into.
"Let me show you some things in the book of Romans, Bud. Here, you read verse 23 of chapter 3.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
"Now read verse 23 of chapter 6.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Good, good. "Now read chapter 5, verse 8.
But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, man.
Do you want to receive Christ as your Savior, Bud?
Yes. Yes, I do.
The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
What should I do now?
Pray in your own words. Repent of your sins and ask God what you want him to do for you.
I prayed, as he said, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and I cried and cried with relief in the joy I felt. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." And that's what happened to me that night. The next day I wrote to Mary and told her what happened. I also searched and learned that Leah and her husband were in Puerto Rico as missionaries, so I wrote to them, telling them of my salvation. I began going to a weekly Bible study where I learned to memorize Scripture. We met in the home of Chief Petty Officer Jim.
"Scripture is saying that if he died for all, then they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again."
"Our life belongs to the Lord, Jim."
"Exactly. And you can trust him because of his great love for us."
"That's why I quit smoking and drinking. I want to honor the Lord in his name."
"We love him because he first loved us."
"I heard from Leah, my foster mom. She's been praying for me for years. She said she didn't know where I was. One night she couldn't sleep for thinking about me, so she woke up her husband and they prayed for me."
"The Holy Spirit prompts people to do things like that?"
"It was the night I was saved."
"That's the Lord for sure. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much."
"If only Mary would come to Jesus."
"Did you hear from her after you wrote?"
"Yes. I thought she'd be glad to know I was saved. But she said I've been in the Cuban sun too long."
"Don't be discouraged."
"Here I am going to Bible study, and she doesn't want any part of that. I'm afraid I'm going to lose her."
"God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Keep praying for her."
"I am."
"Jesus said, 'No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.' Pray that God will draw her to himself."
"Jim, Mary made a profession of faith."
"Really? Well, tell us what happened."
"She decided she was too hard on me and thought she would pray for God to watch over me. But God convicted her about salvation. So she repented of her sins and asked Christ to save her." Mary had never known her father, but at last she met her heavenly father. When my tour ended, I left the Navy and we settled in the Jacksonville area. One day, Mom called me.
I went to a Christian ladies' luncheon today, Bud.
That's great, Mom.
You'll never guess who was sitting across the table from me.
Who?
A woman who said she and her husband took care of my children for 4 years.
Leah?
Yes. I had never met her before, but she recognized my name.
She was a wonderful influence on my life.
Oh, I can understand why. She's very special.
But I always missed you, Mom.
Oh, I hope the Lord forgives me for all the wrongs I did.
All you have to do is ask. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I did. I asked Him to save me.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Mary found her natural father, and we knew him the last 5 years of his life. God gave us 4 daughters, and we all live in the Jacksonville area, where I teach an adult Sunday school class. I've been teaching God's Word for 48 years, because I know that His Word is true, and Jesus makes us free. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Listening friend, good works don't save you. Good works follow salvation through Christ. If you have never trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you can do that now wherever you are. God looks on the heart. Jesus promised in John chapter 5, verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. As a result of your program, I have accepted Christ, someone emailed us. We rejoice and hope that you'll tell the manager of this station so they'll keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3218, heard in the true story of Charles Oswalt, where Michael Ward, Rick Dianofsky, Joanne Silvestrak, Mary Jo Faraci, and Bill Rongsky. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Tim Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.